from God, then that's usually where you'll have some of the biggest challenges in your life. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have challenges as you are close to God, but when you are close to God with challenges, they're easier to overcome. And that's one of the reasons why rebellion in our youth is so devastating. I've been around long enough, this is our 25th anniversary, to see a lot of kids grow up from birth to whatever, to their 20s. And those that were already in 4 or 5, they're in their 30s now. And I've watched how our children turn out. And what happens is that they're all here, they're coming to Sunday school, they do great, they love their parents, and then that world starts to take a hold of them. And then they start moving further and further away from God, and then they start to suffer. And that causes a whole lot of grief for mothers and fathers. And the sad part about it is that they don't have to suffer, but they want to do what the world do. They want to drink the same stuff the world drank. They want to smoke the same weed the world smoke. And the enemy has fooled them that it doesn't matter, and it's okay to do all of these things, but it really isn't. In the long run, it's best to keep yourself as clean as you can keep yourself. Amen. Eat right. Drink a lot of healthy stuff. Stay away from alcohol and drugs and what have you, because we want to stay. You want to stay as close to God as you can. You may not think smoking weed is that big of a deal until you try to be a fireman or a policeman. both are good jobs, and you'll find out that will eliminate you right away. And not only that, but a whole lot of other jobs, because now they do drug screenings and drug profiles before they hire people. When we started working, we never heard of drug screening or drug profiles. But not only that, but they also, in some positions, they will check your credit history before they hire. You say, well, why do they do that? See, your credit, oh my goodness, can I say this? Yes, I can say it. Our credit is a reflection of our integrity. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, sometimes we need to do things to fix our integrity and the way that we act and the way that we think. And so they will use your credit report, because they don't know you. Your credit report is a reflection of how you've been acting the last 5, 10, or 15 years. And so I'm not trying to throw no bricks, no rocks at anybody that's credit score is not where it should be. But I'm saying is that if it's bad, just start to make better decisions and fix it. So don't get mad when you hear the truth. See, the truth will do that to you sometime. It'll cause you to get nervous. And then you get mad, and you say, well, I ain't going back there. I came to church. You start talking about credit reports. Amen. But this is all church. Your integrity is part of your walk with Christ. And so there's just some things in our life that we need to change. Now, what can help us is that as we start to understand the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit in our life, because when Jesus left, he said that he's not going to leave us by ourselves. He's not going to leave us comfortless, but he was going to leave a comforter back here for us, who is our teacher, our guide, our instructor. I like to call him an early warning system that warns you about stuff. And so when you do that, you will develop the discipline. There's many times I'm in a store and I see something that I like, and I'll look at it and I say, oh, man, I like that. But I'll leave it there and walk around a little bit more. And there's many a times I'll just leave it in the store and come back a month later and it's half price. And so you have to, the Holy Ghost, see, the Holy Ghost knows everything about everything. And to God, we're all transparent to God. Now, you know, everybody got a little, you know, a little secret stuff that y'all don't want to know. I certainly got some stuff that I hope nobody find out until I'm dead and gone. Or I hope you don't find out dead. But everybody got some, you know, look at somebody and say, you done did some stuff too now. Glory to God. Ain't nobody came. You know, so if you was perfect, you wouldn't have needed a savior. I needed a savior. Amen. I wasn't no gangster or nothing, but I needed a savior. Glory to God. And you need one too. Amen. And so what I want to talk about today as it relates to the Holy Spirit is we want to go into Acts and we want to see how what happened in the upper room was really a part of one of the major feasts. That there's three major feasts that during that time that was very important. All men had to participate in those feasts, and so people would come from all around the regions, all around the known world. You know, those that were Jewish at that time to participate in those feasts. Then you will start to see the parallel between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and you'll see how those feasts related to the Holy Spirit in this particular time that we're in. So let's go to Acts chapter 2, if you will. Acts chapter 2. And if you listen to this whole series, I guarantee you, you will change your mind about the Holy Spirit. You will definitely change your mind about the Holy Spirit. And so that's why I want you to see it in the Word of God, so you don't think that I'm trying to, play some Jedi mind tricks or something with you. But this is, thus said, what the Word of God says. Acts chapter 2, everybody found it? Amen. And this was during Pentecost, which was one of the major feasts in Israel. And so it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Interesting statement. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. They were all in one accord in one place. Once again, this was a major feast, and folks would come from all around regions and all around the known world, those that had that Israeli connection. And the Word of God says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Now, we said three Sundays ago, the Holy Spirit is like a wind. And it says here, like a rushing mighty wind. I think the Amplifiers, I believe, and I didn't print it out. I believe the Amplifier says like a violent wind that came into that room. And then suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And the Word of God says, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Glory to God. And then it says in verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And the Word of God says it sat, that those tongues sat on each of them. Now, once again, now remember, this was Pentecost. This was a major feast. People was coming from all around the regions and the known world. And not everybody spoke the same language, or you can speak the same language, but there you can have a different dialect. What do I mean by that? If you go to New York City in those boroughs, they don't talk like us. They don't sound like us. You go to Texas, they don't sound like us. Why? Because the dialects are different, and so you can be in, if you're in Cajun country in New Orleans, they don't, you know, they've got a whole different dialect, And so even though it's quote-unquote all English, the dialects are different. And if you're not familiar with the dialects, you can pick up a word or two here or there, but you basically don't understand what they were saying. So you have to understand what's going on here. All of these folks, different areas, in this one room, and the Word of God says in verse 3, "And appeared unto them as cloven tongues, as a fire, and it sat on each of them." Verse 4, "And the Word of God says, and they were all filled." How many of them were filled?
All
means what? None left out. So all of that 120 that was in that room were filled, glory to God, filled with what? With the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, if you can remember the prophet Joel, or Joel, you know, however you say it, about 900 years before this ever happened, prophesied that the Spirit of God would be poured out on all men. And now the prophecy is being fulfilled. Under the old covenant, the Holy Spirit has been around. He didn't just show up at Pentecost. He's been around all the time. Now, but in the old covenant, the Holy Spirit only resided with those kings that was godly, certainly the priests, and as well as the prophets of God. So ordinary folk like us did not have were not filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, because of what happened at Pentecost, anybody that is a Christian can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's good news. May not sound like good news, but hopefully, but by the time we end the series, you will think that it is good news. Verse 4 again, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Word of God says, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." As the Spirit gave them utterance, they were all filled and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so most folks don't get too excited about Pentecost. They say amen. They don't get too excited about the wind and the flames and the tongue and all that. But when it comes to tongues, that's when folks start putting the brakes on. And so we'll break all of that down. And the only way you can miss that is you done hired somebody to make you not understand. So I mentioned at the beginning that there were feasts. There were three major feasts that all the males had to attend each year. Number one was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and that was also called the Feast of the Passover. And y'all know in Exodus, Passover, that's when the Pharaoh's heart was so hard. That's when God instructed the Israelis to cover the doorpost with blood of a lamb, and that night the death angel came and claimed I believe all of the males in every household that did not have it. In other words, that blood, glory to God, calls the death angel. When the death angel came and saw the blood on the door, he passed by or passed over those households. Praise God. And we've got that blood of Jesus on us. Amen. And when we start getting close to God, understanding the Word of God, then a lot of these calamities that have been on us will start to pass over us, because we'll understand the authority that we have as believers, because of what happened. You know, we were singing about Calvary this morning. We were singing about the blood. But do we believe in Calvary? Do we believe in blood, in the blood? See, we've got to get these songs past just being happy songs, but we got to get them on the inside of us. Like if they're word related, we've got to get them on the inside of us, and so that they can make a difference. We don't want to just be singing a song just to be singing a song, but we want to sing a song because it is making a difference on the inside of us. So when you understand what that blood was all about, it's so exciting. Just like that blood was on the lintels of those houses, the blood of Jesus at Calvary set us free. Glory to God. And because of that, you know, we are able to claim and receive all of the benefits that happen at Calvary. We got three major benefits at Calvary. Number one, we got forgiveness of sins, which has freed us, if you're saved, from the second death. Now, most folks are afraid of dying, but I got news for you. If Jesus tarries his coming, in other words, if Jesus wait another 100 years, nobody in this room will be here unless you under 20, then you might be here. But if those of us that are over 20, 100 years, you will not be living. That's just the truth. I ain't trying to scare nobody. That's just the truth. So death is a part of the life cycle. Amen. But it's not that first death that we ought to be concerned about. It's that second death. The second death is when your program wasn't right, if you did not accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that second death is the eternity in hell.
That's right.
Amen. So don't fear the graveyard. I mean, ain't nobody trying to go early. Glory to God. You know, we sing about, you know, when we all get to heaven, everybody be shouting, you know, but, you know, nobody don't want to die. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that we're all going to die. But what we want to do is fulfill our time while we're here on earth and use up all our time and then die under our plan and circumstances. Now, the patriarchs under the old covenant showed us how to do it. You know, you get to be 100 and something or whatever. You call the family in and say, you know, I'm going home. So they think you're going back to Baltimore. No, I'm going home. Glory to God. You lay hands on everybody and just whoop. Amen. You're out. Glory to God. And you, boy, that would be a great thing to do. All your children and grandchildren, they say, well, now that's how to die. Glory to God. Amen. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is also called the Feast of the Passover. The second feast is called the Feast of Weeks. Now, we're talking about the three major feasts that are very important. Feast of Weeks. It was also called the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of First Fruits, and also called the Feast of Pentecost. And this was Pentecost here. And it happened in every year in the spring. So it was 7 weeks after Passover. On that 50th day was Pentecost. Third feast was the called the Feast of Tabernacles, and is also called the Feast of Booths, B-O-O-T-H-S, the Feast of Trumpets, and the Feast of Harvest. Now, trumpets are all, you know, mentioned in the Bible quite a bit, trumpets. And that happened, harvest time, happened in the fall of every year. So you had something that was happening in the spring, something happening as well as the fall. Go to Exodus chapter 5. See, God preordained that his people under the old covenant were to have feasts. And we kind of forget about them now, but there is a parallel that I think is very important. Exodus chapter 5. Praise God. I forgot to mention something, too. I have to mention it at the end. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 5. And they were still captives when this was happening. So have you found Exodus? All right. I'm just going to read chapter 5, verse 1. And it says, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, 'Thus said the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness.'" So God had this plan, this preordained plan, before they even started having feasts, for them to have feasts out in the wilderness, and they carried that once again past the wilderness until they got to the promised land, on and on and on. So it's so very important that you understand that. Now go to Matthew chapter, because I'm talking about the old covenant. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Let me show you something in Matthew chapter 5. And we're going to teach this many times. This is the first time that I've taught this. And by the time you hear it the second or the third time, hopefully, every time that it'll fit in, sink deeper and deeper on the inside of us. Matthew chapter 5. Now, if you got a good Bible, most of Matthew 5 is in what? Red letters. What does red letters mean? Right. That doesn't mean they ran out of ink, black ink, and then they just ran some red till they can find some more black. This is Jesus talking. And he's, now look what he said in verse 17. He says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets." He said, "I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill the law." Amen. And so, you know, it was not all about destroying the old covenant, but to fulfill the old covenant. And so these feasts that we were just talking about, that Jesus really brought a certain reality to the importance of those feasts. Now, we don't live under the practice of these feasts. But we do. We should be living under the principles that are involved in these feasts. Once again, they've got the feast of the Passover, the feast of Harvest, which is Pentecost, and then the feast of Tabernacles, which happens in the fall. So once again, we don't have to. All of the brothers, you know, we don't have to get on a plane and fly over to Israel. And observe that with them, but it's not all about the practice, but the understanding the principles behind these feasts that's so very important. So the question is then, how do these feasts relate to us now in 2017? So on the quick review, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or also the Feast of the Passover. And so you got to understand that Jesus is our Passover now, and he is our deliverer. So back then, under the old covenant, the that death angel passed over, but Jesus now is our Passover over. And he is our deliverer. He has delivered us from the second death. That's how we got saved. I was talking a moment ago about died for three reasons. The other two reasons is that he died for our sicknesses and our diseases by his stripes. The Word of God says we are healed, and he also died for our poverty, you know, so that we wouldn't be broke. So anytime that we are sick or broke, we are out of the will of the Lord. Anytime that my body is attacked by sickness or disease, I realize that you ain't going to heaven because you're hell rather, because you're sick or broke. But we're not living in God's best when our bodies are not functioning properly, or if we don't have our money. Now, people always act a little funny. Well, you know, I really don't need a whole lot of money. Well, you know, do you live in America? You definitely need some money in America. It is, you can't buy an apartment downtown for under $1,200 to $1,500 for a one bedroom apartment. All these new apartments and townhouses downtown, and it takes money to do that. You know, if you're paying anywhere from $1,200 to $1,700 a month to rent an apartment, you've got to have a fairly decent job, or you got to have, 10 or 12 people living in an apartment, which they're probably not going to allow. And so, you know, don't play around. You need money. There are some spiritual laws as to why we don't have money, and it's called the law of seed time and harvest. If you don't sow, then you won't be reaping anything. And God said that he'll give seed to those that want to sow. Amen. And so ain't no sense in going to Miss Rudolph trying to get the number. All that money you done spent at Miss Rudolph house and our prophet Pharaoh coming in with his lucky numbers. Save your money. And you think, you know, you done prayed that the Lord going to give you the Powerball numbers. Save your money. Because if he gave anybody the Powerball numbers, it'd be me. Glory to God. Amen. If you win it, it's pure luck. Let me tell you this. Amen. It's pure luck if you win it. Now, if you win the Powerball money, we ain't mad at you. Just bring us... Just bring your tithe. Glory to God. We will cleanse that money. Glory to God. In good ground. Praise God. So, once again, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or the Feast of Passover, Jesus is our Passover feast, and he's our deliverer. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. So you ain't got to go out, you know, every year and put, you know, blood on your... You know, you come around and your neighbors say, "Why you put that blood on your door every year?" No, and you know, you got to find a goat or a lamb and stuff, and everybody hear all these lambs or that, you know, and so everybody eat lamb chops for a month or so. But no, Jesus is our Passover, the Feast of Weeks. That's also called the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of First Fruits, Pentecost, however you want to label it. So if you believe in Jesus, glory to God, you are saved. Amen. If you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you got to believe, you got to know this. It's not by how you are currently acting. See, a lot of times for whatever reason, Christians just cut the fool sometime. That doesn't mean you're not saved. It do mean you need to renew your mind with the Word of God, and it absolutely means you should repent and get some of that evil out of your heart or what have you. But it doesn't mean that you're not saved. You're just not acting like you ought to be acting, you know, at the time. And so every time you sin, you don't have to get re-saved. Every time, it's just like Jesus has not come. That scripture that Elder Don said, he, once and for all, he came and died once, and that death is covered. And everybody that want to be saved can be saved. He died once, but he died for all. Thirdly, the Feast of Tabernacles, that's also called the Feast of Booths, Trumpets, and Harvest. It once again, this happens in the fall of every year. And see, at the return of Jesus, your body is, this is the hardest one trying to explain. At the return of Jesus, you know, you can liken your body to a booth, B-O-O-T-H. And these old booths that we have will get new booths. Amen. So your body, our bodies will be resurrected. I don't care whether somebody dropped you in a vat of acid and dissolved you into a trillion pieces. All them little elements are going to come back together. But this body will be not subject no longer to death and the grave. So, you know, for us that are Christians, this is the worst it's ever going to get right now. This is the absolutely worst it will ever get. On the other hand, if you are not saved, this is as best as it ever going to get for you. Amen. You got to know that. We're not just sitting in church just to put in time and just, you know, bring money. We're here because we want to know what's in the book. We want to know our Savior better. We want to learn how to become closer to God, because that word is changing our hearts. It's changing our lives. It's changing our families. It's changing the atmosphere around us. And so it's so very important that we all understand that. So keep in mind the following. You know, we get saved. Jesus is our Savior. We get water baptized. And that symbolizes the death and the burial of the old man. Baptism, water baptism, don't save you. You get confessing Jesus Savior, but that water baptizing is a symbol that the old man is dead, and the new man has arisen. And so we're making a declaration to the world that the old, you know, the old whatever your name is gone. Now we got the new person is now has arrived. And so when we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, this allows us, if we choose to do so, to speak in tongues. Now, you say, Pastor, I noticed that you said if we choose to do so. I certainly did say that. A lot of folks are filled with the Holy Ghost, but they don't speak in tongues. Now, can they speak in tongues? Yes. It's like, you know, say, for instance, you go out and buy a 2017, or maybe they got the 18s that I don't know, Mercedes, whatever you like. You don't have to use the air conditioning in it. You can still drive around. You don't have to use the electric windows at all. I mean, you can just have the windows up all the time. But it's sure nice, isn't it, to have the air conditioning on. You don't have to play the radio. Or, you know, AM, FM, or XM, you know, whatever it is. But it's sure nice when you got something playing and music or what have you. None of those things. Matter of fact, you don't even have to ride in the car. You can push it around. You can push it everywhere you go. Say, man, I got a new car. You see it? Well, why are you pushing it? Well, you know, I just feel led to push it. So you don't have to speak in tongues. But if you want your life to be enhanced, your life to be better, you'll do it. And I know why people get don't lack tongues, because so many folks have cut the fool with tongues to then turn folks off. The folks say, well, I love Jesus, I don't want none of that. Glory to God. And so folks will start to say, I'm going to get filled, but I ain't talking in tongues, because if it do me like it do Sister Boogaloo, I don't want any of that. But you got to understand, the Holy Ghost is a gentleman. The Holy Ghost don't make you do nothing. Amen. Now, what we do is that's how we choose to react. When the Spirit of God is on us, you don't have to act that way. Now, God will not make you do anything. If he's going to make you do something, he'll make you get saved.
Right.
Certainly it'll make you pay your tithe, because they're saying most churches only about 20% of the people in the church tithe. What are the other 80% doing? Well, they tithe on their nails, their hair, the rims on their cars, and on and on and on and on. So the Holy Ghost is a gentleman, so you don't have to ever worry about you in the middle of a meeting, he going to make you speak in tongues in the middle of a meeting. You say, he ain't going to make you do that. Now, you may feel like speaking in tongues in the middle of a meeting, but you're always under control. So I know why people don't speak in tongues. It's you know, they seen something happen either when they were a kid or in their early stages, and saints of God, you know, we as a people, we can cut the fool with some stuff. I can remember when I was a boy, man, you had to have three or four ushers to fan people, and then they fall out, and it took, you know, you got to get them in, and then Sister Pharaoh, boy, she the power guard, and then she, you know, then after the thing, somebody bumped the car, she cussing in the parking lot. That didn't last long, did it, brother? What happened to the Holy Ghost? He gone. Amen. So we got to stop, you know, doing stuff and say, God made you do it. He didn't make you do anything. He certainly make you love one another. Stop talking about each other. Stop gossiping. Amen. He'll make you, if you want to make you do something, he'll make you witness more. Why don't people like to witness? Amen. Well, I'm a little shy. I don't know how to talk to people. Well, you ain't no Pookie either. You all in the hotel room with him. You don't know nothing about Pookie. You ain't seen his medical report or nothing. So you can't tell me you're shy. You just don't want to do what God asked you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Pentecost, this whole thing happened. They were near the Mount Sinai at the time of this Acts chapter 2. And that is the place where God really started a new nation at Sinai. And they became a nation of God, and they became kings and priests for God. And some of this is in Exodus 19 and as well as other places in the Bible. But on the day of Pentecost, we became new creations. And now we are kings and priests for the Most High God. And as we read in Acts chapter 2 and further on in the Gospels, you can see where it says that we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, glory to God. And so there is a parallel. It's such a, you know, when you start thinking about that, it's so marvelous. A lot of times, I know I am probably the most guilty person in here. You read and you'll be reading and studying what have you, and you forget to start comparing, you know, apples, you know, the old and the new, and see how that parallel is. And it's incredible when you start doing that, how God reveals the old as well as the new. And I'm using Sinai as an example. You know, once again, that's where Pentecost occurred, near Mount Sinai. At Sinai, you know, the Word of God says there was thundering and lightning and trumpet noise up in that mountain and wind. Now, what did we say the Holy Ghost was like? Wind. Just like wind. So on the day of Pentecost, there was a sound of what? A rushing mighty wind. So you had these things that happened at Sinai under the old covenant, and you can see the parallel in the new covenant of these same, you know, the similar things that were related to the old covenant. Now remember, Jesus said in Matthew 5, that he did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. And so we have to understand that. At Sinai, the Word of God talks about the whole mountain was on fire. you know, and people, and but on the day of Pentecost, it says that there was fire, but it was on a, on 120 people, and now it's on us that have received the Holy Ghost. And it's like fire. And it is. It's exciting when you first get filled. And I understand why people do what they do. It's, you know, we just react different to the presence of God. You know, some people, it hits some people, and some people run it off or dance it off. I be wanting to make sure, I be trying to hear the voice of God to find out what to do, and then do that. Then I'm going to run. But if you first, soon as you hit, you take off, you ain't gonna hear nothing. Amen. And pretty soon, you know, the power will dissipate because we've danced it off or run it off. Now, once again, nothing wrong with running and or dancing. So don't leave out here and say, well, Pastor don't want us running no more, don't want us dancing no more. Pastor didn't say that. Why did I say that? Because we hear stuff differently. Amen. Also, you got to remember at Sinai, the Ten Commandments was written by what? The finger of God. Glory to God. The finger of God, the Ten Commandments. And on the day of Pentecost, the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. And the finger of God is now writing in our hearts, in our spirits. About you know the wonderful things of his word to us. Once again, there's a parallel between what happened at Sinai and also what happened at Pentecost. And what happened at Pentecost is moved right on to 2017 until the time and the day that we're living in now. Under the old covenant, the law of Moses was given, and it came with what? Condemnation. And death. That law of Moses was tough, thanks to God. Under the new covenant, the grace of Jesus was given. And with that came what? Life. And life more abundantly. So, old covenant, that was a tough thing. See, the law was simply here to show them folks that you needed God. Right. You can't do this by yourself. They were just hard-headed. God did not even want Israel to have a king, but everybody else around them had a king, and so they wanted a king. God said, y'all just, you know, let the priest, I'll tell the priest to tell you what to do and just follow that, and we'll be all right. No, 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 us want a king. And so they got, their first king was who? Saul. Started out right, but he didn't end up so good. He, you know, ended up going to Miss Rudolph, trying to find out stuff, and that cost him his life. See, all this root working and hoodoo voodoo stuff, that stuff ain't new. It's always a power of darkness. It's always been around. And folks have always gone to witches and what have you. And, you know, and every now and then, witches show up here. Whether you know it or not, you know, because they're always trying to be around the word and the anointing, and always they will come also to start foolishness. Well, you know, it's just like somebody just throwing, you know, you having a party, somebody just throw some rotten eggs in the house and run, or tear gas and run. And so there's a lot of stuff that goes on in the spirit. That if you don't have your antenna up, you'll totally miss what's going on. So you think, well, why do you folks just argue all the time? What's the reason why folks, you know, argue all the time? It's a reason why we in our households don't get along. Amen. It's the enemy. John 10 says he had come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's got his henchmen and henchwomen, you know, sorcerers and witches and all of these kind of stuff. And a lot of times folks are used by the devil and don't even know they're used by the devil. They think God is causing that. God is not the author of confusion. Right. If you're causing any strife or foolishness anywhere, you better believe that God is not the motive behind you. Amen. You need to hit the flow. You ought to hit the flow so fast, you'll think Mike Tyson hit you. whop. Ask for mercy and ask for forgiveness. Amen. So important. If we don't do that, you know, houses will be in turmoil. Marriages will be in turmoil. You always be angry. I know some folks, they're always, how can you be angry all the time? All the time. And you know what? They sick all the time. You can't walk around with that toxic stuff in you and not have it affect your mental being or your physical being. See, that's why the joy of the Lord is our strength. Can't go around, man. You know, you got to be quick to forgive people. Then, no, I'm getting back. Well, you go ahead and let me know how that turned out for you. You better forgive them and move on. It's more at stake than what you think is at stake. Amen. And that's why, you know, you have to watch who you with, you know. You can't be everybody's friend. Matter of fact, I'm going to get out here and look at you right in the eye. Some of your relatives, you need to put some molecules between some of your relatives because they ain't right. I must see y'all reaching for them rocks. Amen. You just got to do what you need to do. No, well, if I do that, Grandma ain't going to make them cakes. Well, you better go on Google and learn how to make the cake yourself or something. Because that cake ain't worth strife. Care how good it is. Amen. You have to be strong enough to do what's right. Hallelujah. You just can't hang around with everybody. But they feeling going to be hurt. Well, it's best for their feelings to be hurt than your body and your soul be hurt. Amen. I'm not telling you to be mean to anybody, but you have to understand you just can't hang around with everybody all the time. You know, all the buddies you grew up with, you can do a drive-by, but you can't hang around with folks. That's folks that I really love, but I just can't be around them all the time because they just so negative about everything, so negative about the word. Don't know they negative about it. Just do stuff that ain't right. Still buying hot stuff. Freezer full of hot meat. While them heads went down. I'll move on. Glory to God. Amen. I'm trying to do right. I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm perfect or better than nobody. I'm just trying to do right. That's all. Just trying to do right. Amen. Ain't nothing wrong with trying to do right. Nothing wrong with trying to do right. Let me get back to the lesson. My goodness, time is getting away from us. All right. During that time at Sinai, over 3,000 people perished because of their rebellion. But on the fulfillment of the Feast of the Weeks or Pentecost, after them folks got saved, you read later on, what happened? Over 3,000 people what? Got saved. Amen. See the parallels between the old and the new? Glory to God. So it's God is just so mighty. So at Sinai, folks actually heard the voice of God in their own tongue. Once again, because you had all these people together that were from different places, different regions, they all heard God in their own tongue. Same thing on the day of Pentecost. Everybody heard each other speak in their own native tongue, as well as their own dialects, and they were from all over. And if you read that second chapter of Acts, it tells you from all the different regions that they were from. So these people were not all from St. Petersburg, but they were from all over the place. When you read Acts chapter 2, verses 5 through 13, you will see that people from all was gathered from all over the world, different regions, as I was just saying a moment ago. But they heard the word of God, and they heard it in their own tongue or their own language or and their own dialect. So if we was there, we would hear it in a southern Florida dialect. So if you stay in Florida long enough or the South long enough, you'll be sounding southern. Amen. And no matter how long you stay up north, it will come out of you. That's just the way we sound. But during that time at Sinai, many people were confused. They were amazed and confused. Guess what happened at Acts, when the people were filled with the Holy Ghost? Many people was what? Amazed and confused. Many people doubted that that was really God. And then the worst part about it, they start mocking. Remember the brother said, well, they're drunk. And one of the said, wait a minute, it's early in the morning. You know, they're not drunk. But then they say, this is that what the prophet Joel prophesied. Amen. And that's what happened now. Many people mock the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, in a whole lot of pulpits, they'll mock the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And even speaking in tongues, they'll mock. They say, oh, that ain't right. And just like they did then, they're doing the same thing now. But see, there are so many different manifestations that are related to the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the only thing that people could go along with everything is, but when you start talking about that tongue business, folks start cringing. I can handle being filled with the Holy Ghost, but this tongue business, I don't know, Pastor. Let's go back to Acts chapter 2 here. You might still be there. I don't know. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, once again, it says they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost. And began to speak with what? Other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now go to Acts chapter 10. I know this is a lot of information, and you'll hear it again. I remember years ago, everybody say years ago, I had one of my leaders that came to me and said, you know, Pastor, you just need to, you can't teach these people just anything. I said, well, what are you talking about? He said, no, they ain't gonna be understanding that. I said, well, my style is to teach with simplicity. Sometimes I gotta hear stuff two or three times before I get it. And I said, I'm gonna continue to do that. So this will be heard over and over until we get it. I understand that. That's why I don't spend my whole time sweating up suits and handkerchiefs and towels and what have you, but trying to explain, showing you the parallel between Pentecost and then also what happened at Sinai when the commandments was given and when God showed up in the mountain and what have you. That is, it's just a marvelous thing to look at the old versus the new. Acts chapter 10, verse 45. Here's when some of the Gentiles received the Holy Ghost. Now, what's the difference between Jews and Gentiles? Help me out. Say again? Yeah, that's one thing. Absolutely. Now, Gentiles, there's three classes of people in the Bible, Jews, Gentiles, and the church. And sometimes you can be in more than one of those categories. Gentiles was everybody that were not Jews at that time. And as it was said, that all Jewish males had to be circumcised. And circumcision is still done today throughout, well, I think it's throughout the world, certainly here in America and Europe. And so, but it says, and where was that? 10:45, and let's read verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Who fell on them? And they of the circumcision, that's which believe, were astonished. Now, who were they of the circumcision? Those were the Jews. They were astonished. Why? Because as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. then answered Peter. And so Peter said in verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they for him to tarry a certain day. So these are much to the amazement of the Jews, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was also available to the Gentiles. See, when Jesus died, he came to die for what? Once and for who? For all. So he didn't just come to die for the Jews, but he also came to die for the Gentiles, and which created the church, which is, you know, we are a part of it. We are not physical Jews, but we are certainly spiritual Jews because we have inherited the blessings of Abraham. So I don't have any Jewish blood in my body that I'm aware of anyway. I never did one of those DNA family tree things where you could tell, you know, whether you got European or African or how much this, that, and the other. But I do know, spiritually speaking, that we've got this Jewish connection. And that's good enough for me. Amen. And so they said that they heard them speak with tongues and what? Magnify God. So when you speak in tongues, glory to God, it gives you a strong ability to magnify God. See, much of our prayer life is petitions, asking for stuff. And most of the time, folks begging for stuff. But how often do we pray and we're just magnifying God? Say, God, you're so holy. You're so high. You're so lifted up. There's none like you, Father. Glory to God. If I live to be 2,000 years old, Father, I'll never find anybody or anything that is good, as marvelous as you. Just magnifying God. Just magnifying God. See, the Holy Spirit will give you the ability to do that. When you're praying in what we call praying in the Holy Ghost. And so there are some tremendous, tremendous, tremendous benefits from being filled with the Holy Ghost. Once again, you don't have to speak in tongues if you don't want to, but I think you're missing out on a very good thing that if you don't. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. So you know... And this is the conversion of Saul, who became Paul. And he was a straight up heathen. His job was to persecute the church, and he did a good job of it. He sent a lot of people to prison, and probably to their death as well. Matter of fact, he was there when Stephen got stoned. He was on the scene. He might have hit him with some of the rocks itself. And this is what this conversion in Acts chapter 9 is all about. But we're only going to read a couple of verses. In verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, talking about Saul, look what he said to him, "Brother Saul." So he was welcome. See, God had straightened him out about who Saul was and the plan that he had for Saul. So he called him brother. "Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." And be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now remember, when this whole thing started with Saul, he was on his way to persecute Christians. But in the middle of the day, a light shined that was brighter than the daylight. And he lost his sight, and you know, and Jesus spoke to him during that time. And then in verse 18, and the word of God says, "And so when he received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus." And so you can see that even Saul, who was probably one of the worst persecutors in the Bible, got filled with the Holy Ghost. And so if Paul can get filled with the Holy Ghost, and Paul became a serious tongue talker, because he told that church at Corinth, "I talk in tongues, speak in tongues more than you all." Now, he had to straighten out the church at Corinth, because they were what I guess you could call them tongue abusers. They was talking in tongues everywhere and all the time, and it wouldn't do any good if I would have preached this message in tongues. Nobody would have got anything out of it, unless somebody was up here interpreting it at the same time. So there is a time and a place for everything.
Right.
Amen. Oh yeah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'll show you something about Paul. And this chapter talks about prophecy and tongues. And they were, he had to straighten them out, because they were on fire, but they had zeal, but not knowledge. See, you can be on fire for something, but if you don't have the right knowledge, you can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong. So you got to get knowledge. You got to educate yourself so you can do the right thing. And do it the way God wants you to do it. And Paul told him in that 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, he says, "I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all." And if you do, if you read Corinthians and you do some research on Corinth, those were some tongue-talking folks. And Paul said, "Hey, I talk in tongues more than you all," but they were abusing tongues, and so that's why many don't speak in tongues, because they heard something wrong about tongues. That once again, that is of the devil. I know a major denomination that come and knock on your door. Yeah. That's one of the first things they say, "Well, tongues are of the devil." Not the whole congregation believe that. Where did they get that from? They got it from the same person that told them the world was going to end in 1918. And then they keep moving the date. That would have been enough for me. You missed that. They said, "Well, the angel told them." I don't doubt the angel did tell them. There are heavenly angels, and the devil's got his folks. Amen. So just because something supernatural happened, don't think that it's God all the time. There's some other supernatural stuff going on too that we don't want to hear about. All right, a couple more and we're out for the day. Amen. Go back to go to Acts chapter 8. So you can act on the supernatural, and I want to show you how you can act on the right side and on the wrong side. And see, if you don't know any better, because sometimes if you grow up and your parents are doing squirrely stuff, and because their parents did it, and because their parents did it, you think that it's okay, but it's not okay. I'm going to give you an example here. Acts chapter 8, everybody there? Let's go to let's start in verse 9. This was a sorcerer named Simon. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is great, is the great power of God." See how people can be confused? See, if you don't know the word, you will get confused because somebody's doing something supernatural, or somebody done told you, well, you got $2,500 on a stock account, you know, in your left drawer. And the Lord told me to tell you to give me that $2,500. Now, don't nobody know you got the money in the stock account, but there is some beings called familiar spirits that know that the money is there. And so you can be falsely misled because you say, oh, that had to be God, because nobody knew I had no stocking cap, first of all, and then they don't know I had the $2,500 in the left drawer. So a lot of people are tricked because they see supernatural stuff. You have to discern stuff and rightly divide it so you don't get caught up. But if you don't have any word in you, you will just be awed and make bad decisions. You don't want to just make bad decisions all your life. And then it says in verse 11, and to him they had regard because of that of a long time he had bewitched them. He had bewitched them, saints of God, with sorcery. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wonder, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, it says in verse 17, then laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying also, give me this power, that on whomsoever I lay hand, that he may receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. See, See, he was trying to buy the power to operate in the supernatural in order to influence people, because that was the atmosphere, that's the world he came out of. He saw, see, he was intoxicated with power, that power that he had before that allowed him to sway all of these people. Now he's seeing that, you know, they're laying hands on folks. Folks are speaking with, obviously they were speaking in tongues, because something had to happen for him to be willing to pay for it. So he was really not interested in the people, but he was interested in power. So that's like the wrong side, as I was saying a moment ago, of the power of God. So of spiritual things. There's a good side and there's a bad side. So go to Mark 16, the last scripture, and we'll stop there. But he saw something, definitely saw something. What he saw was a manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Mark chapter 16. This is also called the Great Commission. People love this verse, but there's one thing that make them cringe when you read it. Mark 16, I think it's the last chapter in Mark. Yes. And it says in verse 15, and he said unto them, this is Jesus, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The word of God in verse 16 says that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And then he says in verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe.